Chapter 19.
Alliances are useful in some situations. In others, they are absolutely vital. But they must always be approached with caution. Unity of that sort is based on mutual advantage. While that advantage exists, the alliance may stand firm. But needs change, and advantages fade. And a day may come when one ally sees new benefits to be gained in betraying another. The warrior must be alert to such changes if he is to anticipate and survive an unannounced blow. Fortunately, the signs are usually evident in time for defense to be planned and executed. There is also always the possibility that changes will serve to meld the allies even more closely together. It is rare, but it can happen.
The full blend is really the best,
Lady Tyr Hem said, her long, thin Findian fingers caressing the bottle Orinda had brought her.
I stand deeply in your debt.
I'm pleased you're happy, Orinda said. I, in turn, am in your debt for your sympathy to the goals of higher skies.
Your goals are much like mine and my husband's,
Lady Hem said, still gently stroking the bottle's neck.
You must have gone long and far to find this particular wine.
It was my pleasure,
Orinda assured her. It had, in fact, been something of a challenge, entailing trips to nearly 30 of the Federal District's finest wine shops and several hours of studying labels until she'd found the exact vintage, blend, and texture she knew Lady Hem wanted.
But it was worth it.
The look on the Findian's face was priceless.
At any rate, I must leave now,
Orinda added, standing up.
I just wanted to drop off this small token of my appreciation, and to ask if Senator Hem had found time to read the document I sent him.
He has,
Lady Hem said, her fingers now moving to the bottle's textured label.
I believe he agrees with your agenda and your plans, but I will speak to him about that this night.
She blinked rapidly, her species version of a wide smile.
Over a glass of wine, perhaps.
I look forward to hearing from him, Orinda said, smiling back. Until we speak again, Lady Hem, farewell.
Farewell, my good friend Orinda Price.
Driller, not surprisingly, was aghast.
2,000 credits for a bottle of wine?
He gasped as he stared at Orinda's receipt.
Are you out of your mind?
The Findians are a highly technological species, and are very devoted to family,
Orinda reminded him.
Both of those go double for Senator Hem. A simple bottle of his wife's favorite wine, and he's as good as in our pocket.
Not exactly a simple bottle,
Driller growled.
Will this at least buy you access to his office?
I'm expecting an invitation by the end of the week,
Orinda assured him.
And yes, I'm sure I'll be able to get some numbers from him about the Navy's military budget and the level of Senate support. The secret numbers, not the ones the public gets to see.
Great, Driller said. It's important to know where the money is going so we can see what's left for schools and hospitals.
Absolutely,
Orinda said, smiling to cover her sudden surge of contempt. Did he really think she was this naive and stupid? Apparently he did.
So is there anyone else you want me to pitch higher skies to?
Let's see, he said, studying his data pad. A couple of governors are in for a visit. Midrim, not too difficult. Or, ooh, how big a fish are you willing to go after?
How big a fish have you got?
The biggest, he said, eyeing her closely. The fish you were once going to leave me for until the job offer fell through. Grand Moff Tarkin.
Orinda felt her stomach tighten. Tarkin,
and the timing was absolutely perfect.
Wow,
she said, trying for just the right mix of casualness and interest.
Sure, why not?
Why not is because he's got a reputation for chewing up advocates and small bureaucrats and spitting them out in neat linear meat strips,
Driller warned.
It won't be one of the milk runs you've been doing lately. This'll be more like a dogfight.
Milk runs are fun,
Orinda said.
But I like dogfights, too. Can you get me in to see him?
I think so, Driller said. You sure?
Orinda smiled.
Trust me, she said. Talking to someone I've always wanted to meet.
There were, Orinda had learned, many tricks politicians and military types used to intimidate, pressure, and otherwise put visitors at a disadvantage. Tarkin knew them all. It began with his office. The long walk from the door, the thick, textured carpet that dragged at a visitor's feet and threatened to trip her up with each step. The sunlight glinting off corners of shelves and display stands, and the desk itself. The spots shifting and flickering and distracting. The objects on the shelves and stands were the next layer. Mementos of Tarkin's past triumphs. A procession of reminders of his power. Here and there, she spotted some ancient and valuable artifact that he had either bought, stolen, or despoiled. Yet another object lesson. The man got whatever he wanted. It was an impressive display, especially considering that the Grand Moff probably only used his office a few weeks each year. His main office, the one from which he controlled a large swath of the Outer Rim, was probably even more intimidating. At the end of the gauntlet, seated in a tall-backed chair as he watched her approach, was Tarkin. If the office itself wasn't enough to put guests into defensive mode, Orinda mused, their first look at the man himself probably did the trick. The gaunt face, gray-white hair, thin lips, and steely eyes were like an image of waiting death. The 12 tiles of his insignia plaque were in deceptively colorful contrast with the dark olive green of his uniform. The stillness of his expression and body as he watched her approach was like that of a jungle predator preparing to strike. It was an impressive display of power and intimidation, one that no doubt worked well against nearly everyone who dared enter his sanctum. Orinda intended to be the exception.
Governor Tarkin, she greeted him as she reached the desk. I appreciate you taking the time to see me.
Miss Orinda Price,
he greeted her in return. His voice was a match for the coolness of his face.
I understand you represent an advocacy group called Higher Skies.
That's certainly what they think,
Orinda agreed.
Actually, I'm here to represent myself, and to make you the best offer you'll get today.
His expression didn't change, but his eyes seemed to grow colder.
Really? He said. I think perhaps you overestimate your charm.
Oh, I don't run on charm, Governor,
Orinda assured him.
I run on information.
She slipped a data card out of her pouch and set it on the desk.
Here's a sample. I'll be happy to wait while you look it over.
For a moment he was silent, his eyes locked on hers. Then a small smile creased his lips.
Full credit for ingenuity, he said, picking up the data card. Sit down.
Orinda stepped to the chair at the corner of his desk and lowered herself into it, trying not to let any of her submerged apprehension make it to the surface. She was 90% certain she'd read this man correctly, but that remaining 10% could make or break her. Tarkin watched her another moment, then slipped the data card into his computer.
At least you aren't so obvious as to try a data thief program,
he commented.
Not at all.
Orinda pulled out another data card and set it on the desk.
This is the one with the thief program. It's the Higher Skies brochure and agenda I was supposed to give you.
Tarkin's forehead furrowed briefly.
Really?
He said, his tone intrigued.
Who exactly are you, Ms. Price?
Someone who wants to make a deal that will benefit us both,
Orinda said.
But please, look at the information on that card. It'll give you a taste of what I have to offer.
Again, Tarkin gazed at her a moment before returning his attention to his computer. Orinda sat silently, watching his eyes track back and forth across the display as he skimmed the file. She'd gotten good at reading faces, human and non-human alike, during her time with Higher Skies. But Tarkin's might as well have been a theatrical mask. He reached the end and turned back to Orinda.
Interesting, he said.
You found it informative?
Orinda asked.
Hardly, he said. Most of this I already knew.
Orinda felt her stomach tighten.
I see.
Don't look so concerned, Tarkin said with another thin smile. That's a good thing. It proves you successfully tapped into Governor Nasling's records, and also lends credence to one or two items I was unaware of. No, my comment was directed at the skill of your employers. How do they come to create such a clever thief program?
I imagine they brought in someone to help,
Orinda said.
You see, I think they're rebels.
For the briefest of moments, a flicker of emotion crossed Tarkin's face. Then the mask fell back into place.
Rebels? He repeated.
Yes, Your Excellency,
Orinda said.
But don't worry. All they have is the merest skeleton of that data file. Just enough to keep them happy with my work, so that they'll keep sending me to other officials.
She dared a smile.
And keep funding me, of course. Bribery can be expensive.
Especially on Coruscant, he agreed. So this is a double-layer thief program?
Exactly,
Orinda said.
It was layered on top of the Higher Skies version by an associate. The idea of bringing it to you was inspired by another associate, both of whom would prefer to remain anonymous.
She added, as if it were an afterthought. The tease worked exactly as she had hoped. Tarkin leaned back in his chair, his eyes boring into hers.
We're far past the point of coyness, he said coldly. Their names.
The program was crafted on the orders of ISB Colonel Wolf Ularin,
Orinda said.
The one who advised me to bring the results to you was Commander Thrawn.
Ah, Tarkin said, his voice dropping a few more degrees.
So you dropped the names of two highly respected individuals in the hope that I'll think you have powerful friends and benefactors. Which one of them suggested that?
Neither,
Orinda said, starting to sweat a little.
I've always considered that you were the only benefactor I needed.
To her relief, he gave her another thin smile.
Thank you for not presuming we would ever be friends.
His smile faded, a small frown creasing his forehead.
Interesting about Commander Thrawn. He was on Coruscant just a few weeks ago, explaining himself to yet another court-martial panel.
What did he do?
Orinda asked. She tried to keep track of Thrawn's activities, but she hadn't heard a whisper of this one.
Burned off a vein of Skarn spice on some alien's territory, Tarkin said. Direct and efficient. Not as politically astute as some would have liked.
What was the outcome?
He was cleared, of course, Tarkin said. The High Command doesn't especially like him, but they find it difficult to argue with his results. The Emperor seems to have taken a fancy to him as well. What exactly did he and our good Colonel Ularin expect from you in return for their help?
Colonel Ularin wanted the data, of course,
Orinda said.
He was highly interested in my, shall we say, unofficial survey of the Empire's top politicians.
I assume you haven't turned it over to him?
Not yet,
Orinda said.
I thought you might like a preview, and perhaps to extract a few tidbits you could use for...
She shrugged.
Let's just say, for the good of the Empire.
Very noble of you, Tarkin said. And Commander Thrawn?
Amazingly easy to please,
Orinda said.
All he asked for were expedited repairs on his ship and a long overdue promotion for his aide. The first I've already managed through some of my other contacts, but there's still some political resistance to the second.
Resistance to a military promotion? Tarkin asked disbelievingly. Which of our esteemed politicians has that much time and energy to spare?
Moff Gotti,
Orinda said,
watching Tarkin closely.
It was all she had hoped for. More, even. Tarkin's face stiffened, his eyes going bright and narrow. She'd already known there was a rivalry between the two men. She hadn't realized how deep and bitter that rivalry truly was.
Moff Gotti, Tarkin repeated. I should have guessed.
I have information on him, of course,
Orinda said, keeping her voice casual.
He was one of the first politicians I targeted.
You have that information with you?
Right here,
Orinda said, touching her hip pouch and then pulling out her data pad.
But first, I thought you might be interested in hearing a recording I made a few months ago.
She keyed it on and turned up the volume.
This had better be important.
Gotti's voice came from the speaker.
And I mean damn important. I'm this close to having Otlis whipped for waking me up. And you don't even want to know what I want to do to you.
It's important.
Orinda's voice came back.
You were right. Higher Skies is keeping watch on many important people. I've found the files.
Of course I was right. Any reason this revelation couldn't have waited until later?
It probably could have, but I thought you'd want to hear as soon as possible about the Tarkin file.
They have a file on Tarkin? What's in it?
I don't know. This one's under a different encryption than anything else I've found. But if it's like the ones I've been able to read, it probably has a lot of secrets in it. Things Tarkin wouldn't want anyone else knowing about.
Perfect. Yes, I absolutely want those files.
I thought you would. I can collate them with the other files I've been able to find, but I wanted to make sure you wanted this one.
Don't be stupid. You have the weapon I need to take down Tarkin, and you want to know if I want it? Get it on a data card and bring it to my office. Now!
Yes, Your Excellency. As I said, though, at the moment it's unreadable. If you give me time, I may be able to decrypt it.
Just bring it to me. I'll decrypt it. Let's see how high and mighty Grand Moff Tarkin is when I'm shoving his dirty little secrets down his throat.
Very well, Your Excellency.
That's enough,
Tarkin said quietly. Orinda shut down the recording.
Imagine that,
she said mock seriously.
A high official conspiring to use illegally obtained material to topple another high official.
And being foolish enough to allow that conspiracy to be recorded.
Tarkin eyed her.
I notice your own voice wasn't nearly as identifiable as his.
A malfunction in the recorder.
Of course, Tarkin said. Tell me, what exactly did you give him?
Absolutely nothing,
Orinda assured him.
It was complete gibberish wrapped in what appeared to be an advanced encryption layer. He's probably still trying to find a coherent sentence in it.
I see, Tarkin murmured. So Colonel Yularen will get data on the Empire's politicians. Commander Thrawn will get his aide promoted. I'll have Yularen's data before Yularen gets it, plus the satisfaction of removing Moff Gotti from the face of the galaxy.
He raised his eyebrows.
We haven't yet talked about you. What do you get out of this?
Your patronage and support,
Arinda said.
The satisfaction of knowing I've helped the true powers that keep the Empire running.
She paused.
And, if you should find it useful and expedient, I'd like the governorship of Lothal.
Lothal? Tarkin echoed, leaning forward again and keying his computer. Not exactly the ground-shaking demand I expected. Why there?
The rivalry between Governor Azati and Senator Rankin cost my parents their mining company and forced them out of their home,
Arinda said, an unexpected surge of anger rising inside her. She thought she'd put the emotion of that betrayal behind her. Apparently not.
Being made governor of Lothal will humiliate the first and make it easier for me to take down the second.
A clear vision of one's goals is important in a governor, Tarkin said dryly. But governorships are valuable commodities. I'm afraid this, he tapped the data cards on his desk, isn't quite enough.
I thought it might not be.
Taking a deep breath, Arinda pulled out another data card.
But this is.
And it is.
Everything about Lothal the Empire would ever want to know, Arinda said. Its mines and refineries, including the quiet and secret mines that no one talks about and no one pays taxes or tariffs on. Its infrastructure and factories, including output numbers and efficiency ratings. The banking structure and how assets are hidden or spirited away. Its people, including social frameworks and which species get along or don't get along together. Summaries of archaeological surveys in the northern areas that suggest the presence of untapped mineral resources on both protected and unprotected lands.
She straightened up in her chair and set the card on Tarkin's desk.
The Empire is gathering up the Outer Rim worlds. It might as well be as easy and painless as possible for everyone.
Interesting, Tarkin said, making no move to take the card. Some would consider that a betrayal of their homeworld.
I prefer to think of it as loyalty to my new homeworld, Arinda said.
Well said, Tarkin said approvingly. And if I may say so, your timing is impeccable. As it happens, that particular governorship may soon be vacant.
Governor Azati is retiring?
Arinda asked, frowning. She hadn't heard anything about that.
Yes,
Tarkin said.
Rather against his will, it would seem.
Interesting,
Arinda said. Not that Azati didn't deserve it. Whether he'd been actively involved in her mother's arrest and the loss of their company, or whether he'd simply stood aside while others in his office did his dirty work, he still deserved it.
Ranking?
Perhaps, Tarkin said. Perhaps other reasons. Still, Senator Ranking is angling for the governorship.
He raised his eyebrows.
I wonder which of you wants it more.
I've given you the means to take down Moff Gotti,
Arinda said, forcing calmness through her sudden flash of anger and frustration. She would not lose now, especially not to Ranking.
I have inside information on other Moff's governors and senators. I've given you Lothal. I want that governorship, Your Excellency. What more do you need to make that happen?
Oh, much, much more, Ms. Price, Tarkin assured her. There are many people in power whom I would like to know better. Fortunately, I now have you.
Arinda clenched her teeth. She'd started as a senator's lackey, and now she was being offered the job of a Grand Moff's lackey?
Your Excellency?
Of course, as a governor, you will have much better access to those people than you will as an advocate, he continued.
Yes, I can see this being advantageous to us both.
Arinda let out a silent sigh. So he'd just been playing with her. She should have known.
I'm glad you approve, Your Excellency.
Of course, going from a mere civilian to a planetary governor is quite a step,
Tarkin continued.
Still, you've had a great deal of experience and contact with the powerful of the Empire, as well as the advantage of being a local of the world in question. Perhaps we'll begin by designating you as acting governor, before granting you the full title.
For how long? Arinda asked.
A few months, Tarkin said with a shrug. A year at the most. Technically, of course, these appointments are supposed to be run through the palace. But I see no reason we need to bother the bureaucrats. You'll need to spend a fair amount of your first year or two in office here on Coruscant, learning the details of your new position.
While also gathering the data you want?
But a short absence from Lothal shouldn't be a problem, Tarkin continued.
There are several ministers in place there, any of whom can run things while you fulfill your side of our bargain. You'll simply need to pick one before you return to Coruscant.
Arinda smiled. The governorship of Lothal. A clear shot at taking down ranking, and she'd get to live among the elite on Coruscant for a while longer. She couldn't have planned it better if she'd tried. I think we have an agreement, Your Excellency.
We do. Tarkin held out a hand. The rest of your data, please.
Here's half of it,
Arinda said, pulling two more data cards from her pouch.
I'll give you the other half once I've been confirmed in the governorship.
Of course, Tarkin said. You'll fit in quite well here, Ms. Price. Or should I say, Governor Price?
Thank you, Your Excellency,
she said, standing up.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I have one more errand to run. I'm sure you want to look over those data cards anyway.
She pointed at them.
Oh, and the recording of Moff Gotti is on the second card. You'll want to take special care with that one.
Juihir was walking across the Yin Chom Dojo's central mat, duffel bag in hand, when Arinda arrived.
Hey, Arinda, Juihir greeted her. You get off early?
No, just between jobs,
Arinda said.
You have a good workout?
Fair, Juihir said. Senator Jurfel signed up her two newest bodyguards with us this morning. I had to run them through the grinder to see how good they are.
And?
They've got potential, but they're not up to Coruscant standards,
Juihir said.
But we'll get them in shape. So, which jobs are you between?
Well, I was at Grand Moff Tarkin's office yesterday,
Arinda said.
We had a nice chat.
Yes, I heard about that,
Juihir said, brightening.
Driller said he actually got you in to see him. Congratulations.
Thank you,
Arinda said.
Not much happening today, so I thought I'd drop by here.
Great, Juihir said. So we doing a workout or lunch?
Neither,
Arinda said.
We're making an arrest.
Who?
You.
She watched Juihir's mouth drop open as Colonel Yularen and his agents filed silently into the dojo behind her.
Arinda, what are you doing?
Juihir asked carefully.
We're arresting a traitor,
Arinda said.
A woman who's been using her training position to suborn or blackmail high-level bodyguards and send them off to spy on their bosses.
She raised her eyebrows.
And occasionally to try to murder them.
What?
Juihir breathed, her eyes widening, her skin going ashen.
Senator Evadorn's bodyguard, Kaniki,
Yularen said darkly as he walked up to them.
He tried to kill the senator this morning. Apparently your indoctrination on the evils of the Empire was a little too effective.
We never told them to kill anyone,
Juihir protested.
They were just supposed to get information for...
She broke off, throwing a sudden look of understanding at Arinda.
That's right,
Arinda confirmed.
I'm the one who pulled the data Driller and Higher Skies have been collecting and handed it over to the ISB. Driller and everyone else connected to the group are being picked up right now. But given the Kaneki incident, Colonel Ularen decided he wanted to arrest you personally.
Arinda!
There's just one thing I want to know, Arinda said, her throat suddenly aching with suppressed emotion. Were you ever my friend? Or was I always just a tool to you? Juahir stared at her as the ISB agents moved around behind her, binders in hand.
Yes, I was your friend, she said quietly. I wasn't involved with this until after Senator Ranking fired you. That was so horribly unfair. It showed me how corrupt the whole system was. It was only later that Driller approached me and...
Driller and Night Swan?
Ularen cut in.
Juahir transferred her stare to him.
Driller mentioned someone with that name, but we only talked about what we could do to fix things, to make the Empire better for everyone.
And then you thought about me and figured you could use me, Arinda said. Poor Arinda Price, cast adrift in the swirling dregs of Coruscant, the perfect patsy.
It wasn't like that.
But close enough, Arinda said. She looked at Ularen. I'm finished. Thank you.
Wait!
Juahir pleaded as the ISB agent started her toward the door.
Arinda, I was your friend. I helped you out when you needed someone. Can't you help me now?
Arinda held up her hand. Ularen did likewise, and the agent stopped.
Here's what I'll do, Juahir, she said. Colonel Ularen is going to interrogate you. If you give him everything, and I mean everything, he'll send you to prison instead of having you executed. Juahir's face had gone even whiter.
Arinda!
I'm on the road to power now, Arinda interrupted. If I achieve my goals, I should be able to pull enough strings to get you out in a few years. If not, she shrugged.
Arinda!
But Ularen had already gestured, and the men were on the move again. Arinda remained where she was, not turning until the door closed again behind her.
What about her?
Ularen asked. Arinda turned, blinking away sudden tears. Hisishi was standing silently in the doorway of her office, watching them. Had Ularen just asked her for advice? Of course he had. Ularen and Tarkin had been in contact regarding the Higher Skies affair, and while Arinda's new status hadn't been officially announced, the colonel had probably been given the news.
Commander Thrawn said she was in the clear, didn't he?
That was his conclusion, yes,
Ularen said.
Did you find anything in the records to contradict that?
No.
Then I suppose we can let her go.
Arinda lifted a warning finger toward the Tagorian.
But I'd recommend you leave Coruscant as soon as possible. Your former employee might try to shift some of her guilt onto your back. She does that sort of thing to her friends.
Thank you, Hasishi said gravely. Mistress Arinda, Colonel Ularen.
Turning, she disappeared back into her office. Arinda smiled. Mistress Arinda. A meaningless title. A veneer of respect overlaying a deeper and more casual disdain. The title of the small and powerless. But she was done with it now. Done with it forever. Governor Price. Yes. That was better. Much, much better. Another week, Eli had gotten used to saying to himself. Another mission. This time it was smugglers, small gangs working out of obscure systems. The Thunder Wasp had proved especially good at rooting out such blights upon Imperial commerce, and Coruscant had apparently taken notice. Of course, Thrawn owed at least some of that success to Eli's own talent at identifying and tracking shipping and supplies. That had led to successful attacks on no less than 4 smuggling operations. three of which had included black market dunium, two of which had apparently included Night Swan. Eli scowled to himself. This whole Night Swan thing was starting to get out of hand. The Thunder Wasp had been in time to close down one of the schemes Eli had spotted, but they'd been too late to stop the other before it was abruptly shut down. Worse, Eli had identified at least five other operations that seemed to fit Night Swan's pattern that were out of the Thunder Wasp's patrol area, and thus out of Thrawn's ability to defeat. Thrawn always sent warnings to the commanders in the affected sectors, but the communications were usually too slow, or the ships were too busy with other matters, or the commanders simply didn't believe him. ISB was only marginally better, and even there, it was often only Colonel Ularin who took the report seriously. Thrawn always spoke of patterns and connections. After nearly 4 years of serving with him, Eli was only now getting the knack of spotting those patterns. Others in the Navy apparently weren't so astute. Probably they never would be. The one puzzle neither Eli nor Thrawn had so far been able to figure out was why Night Swan was so obsessed with taking dunium away from the Empire, and what the Empire itself wanted with the stuff. They weren't building ships with it. Every time Eli ran the numbers, the amount of dunium the Empire was gathering far exceeded any possible need. Were they stockpiling it against some future need for ships? Thrawn's discussions at the palace. Could the Emperor be planning something special? A series of expeditions into the unknown regions, perhaps? There were too many questions Eli didn't have answers to. But those questions paled before the one looming before them today. Namely, the question of why he and Thrawn had been suddenly summoned back to Coruscant. It couldn't be over the Sifar incident. Thrawn had already been cleared of misconduct over his actions there. Had Ularin discovered something new about Night Swan that he wanted to share personally? Or had the High Command decided they were tired of Thrawn's continual focus on the man and wanted him to stop harassing the other commanders just because he thought they weren't doing their job? Or had Eli perhaps crossed some unseen line in his searches and examinations of the subject? The fact that he'd been specifically ordered to appear with Thrawn was more than a little unnerving. "Do you know what this is about, sir?" Eli murmured to Thrawn as a group of senior officers filed into the room. "No," Thrawn said. "But I find it interesting that you were also summoned." So Thrawn had noticed that too. Not really surprising. "Try to read their faces," Thrawn murmured. Eli suppressed a grimace. He was trying. Had been trying since the officers began filing in. Focusing his attention on the Admiral in the lead, he studied the man's expression and body language and caught his breath. His analysis sputtering to a halt as the last man in line appeared through the doorway. Grand Moff Tarkin. And suddenly, all bets were off. Tarkin's title was technically a civilian one, his position giving him authority across a huge swath of the Outer Rim. But he also wore an Imperial Navy uniform, and his duties and authority straddled both civilian and military venues. Which area, Eli wondered, was he representing today? The Admiral in the center waited until everyone was seated. Then she rose to her feet.
"We are met this morning," she said, "to pay special honor to two of our own."
Eli blinked. Honor? So this wasn't another inquiry board or court-martial?
"Never has any officer of the Imperial Navy achieved such success in so short a time," the Admiral continued.
Eli felt a whisper of relief, mixed with a hint of melancholy. So that was it. Thrawn had been called back to receive yet another promotion. Not that Eli begrudged him the recognition. On the contrary, he more than deserved it. Aside from the thorn in the side that was Night Swan, his record was an unbroken string of wins against the enemies of the Empire.
It is therefore with great pleasure that this board confers upon Commander Thrawn the rank of Commodore. Congratulations, Commodore Thrawn.
And there it was. Eli smiled and tried to look happy, which he was, really, as he joined in the applause. Coming all the way to Coruscant seemed excessive for what was, for Thrawn, a fairly commonplace ceremony, but at least they could get back to space now. Even as the Admiral stepped forward and handed Thrawn his new insignia plaque, Eli started mentally sorting through the files that ought to lead them to their next smuggler nest.
"It is also an honor and privilege," the Admiral continued, "for this board to rectify a situation that has too long been allowed to stand."
Eli frowned, thoughts of lists and supply manifests vanishing. Was there a situation Thrawn had gotten himself into that Eli hadn't heard about?
"It is therefore with equal pleasure that this board confers upon Ensign Eli Vanto..."
Eli caught his breath. It was happening. It was finally happening. After all this time, they were finally promoting him to lieutenant.
"The rank?"
Lieutenant Vanto. The sound in his head was like a drink of cool, clear water after a session in the dojo. Lieutenant Vanto.
"Of Lieutenant Commander."
Eli felt his whole body stiffen. What had the Admiral said? Lieutenant Commander? That was impossible. For an ensign to jump ahead that many ranks at once was unheard of. He must have heard it wrong.
"Congratulations, Lieutenant Commander Vanto," the Admiral finished.
And the insignia plaque in the Admiral's extended hand was indeed that of a Lieutenant Commander. "Congratulations," Thrawn repeated from beside him.
Thank you, sir," Eli managed.
"And thank you, ma'am."
There was more. A few short speeches from the others on the board, more congratulations, stirring visions of the glorious future awaiting them all. Eli didn't really hear any of it. To his mild surprise, Tarkin lingered after the Navy officers had filed out again.
"Congratulations, Commodore," the Grand Moff said, nodding to Thrawn. "And to you, Lieutenant Commander," he added to Eli.
"Thank you, Your Excellency," Thrawn said.
"Thank you, Your Excellency,"
Eli echoed.
"A fine ceremony," Tarkin continued. "I'm glad I stopped by. Governor Arinda Price sends her regards and her own congratulations."
"I wondered if she might," Thrawn said.
There was, Eli noted, a hint of something in his voice. Some kind of private joke between him and Tarkin?
"She is well, I trust."
"Quite well,"
Tarkin said.
"Eagerly preparing to take on her new post."
"I'm pleased that things have worked out for her."
"As am I."
Tarkin reached forward and touched the new Commodore's insignia plaque on Thrawn's chest.
"Consider this a bonus."
"Thank you, Your Excellency," Thrawn said. "Please thank the Governor when you next see her."
"I will," Tarkin said. "Now I believe you have enemies of the Empire to deal with. Good hunting to you."
With a final nod to Thrawn, he turned and left.
"Once again, congratulations, Lieutenant Commander Vanto," Thrawn said. "I trust the wait has been worth it."
"It has indeed, sir,"
Eli said. Distantly, he wondered what Lieutenant Gim would say when he first saw the former ensign's new rank. Probably nothing. Not much he could say to a superior officer. But his expression would definitely be worth seeing.
"And now we'd best get to our new ship," Thrawn continued, turning toward the door. "There will be a great deal to learn."
Eli frowned. "Our new ship?" Thrawn turned, a half-amused, half-knowing smile on his face.
"I see you were not paying attention at the end." "I thought not." "We're being transferred, Commander," I am now the captain of the ISD Chimera.
Eli caught his breath. Thrawn had been given an Imperial Star Destroyer?
Congratulations, sir.
Thank you, Commander, Thrawn said, the amusement growing. Shall we go?
Yes, sir.
They headed for the door.
What did Grand Moff Tarkin mean by your promotion being a bonus? Eli asked.
I think it was merely a joke.
Ah,
Eli said.
A Star Destroyer was one of the best possible assignments, almost the highest pinnacle of success the Imperial Navy could offer. It would indeed be an honor and a privilege to serve aboard one. And as a lieutenant commander yet. Before they left the Thunderwasp, he promised himself he would definitely make a point of looking up Lieutenant Gimm.